Welcome to Have You Heard, where we talk about issues at the intersection of agriculture and engineering. Let's get started. Here are your hosts, Morgan Hayes and Josh Jackson.
Welcome. This is the Have You Heard podcast. This is episode 76. We're going to talk today all about weather with our special guest, Matt Dixon. I'm Morgan Hayes, an assistant professor in biosystems and agricultural engineering here at the University of Kentucky, focusing on livestock facilities. In my personal life, I farm in Boyle County, Kentucky, with my husband, a commercial cattle and hay operation.
And I'm Josh Jackson, assistant professor in biosystems and agriculture engineering as well. We're focused on precision livestock farming and my home life. We raise Western Angus cattle, have some goats, and focus on some hay production as well.
Okay, Josh, our special guest here is Matt. But before we get into all things weather, let's do a quick update about what's been happening on the farms this week.
Okay, just did a little bit more fertilizing. Also went around and, you know, hooked up a newer spreader, trying to get other machinery to work. And so just generally getting everything serviced and ready to go for this upcoming hay season.
Yeah, we're sort of in the same boat. We're just sort of in the prep mode, getting ready for hay season. Also, calving season did start, so we do have a few calves on the ground. I'm sure you're also getting a couple spring calves.
Yep, they already started dropping here.
Yep, and the weather this spring has been very interesting. It's been very warm.
Oh, I'm already hearing the complaints from Josh. He's saying it's been way too windy, Matt, and yeah.
You're responsible for all the weather.
Of course. Hopefully it doesn't rain on his hay here in
a few weeks. I'll let you know if it rains on my hay too. It's kind of like raining on our parade. Yeah. Is raining on
that
our
comes
hay.
With the job. So
yeah.
Anyways, yeah. But yeah, weather treating you all right though?
Yeah, I think for the most part it's been good. It's been fairly dry in March. We've had rain events, in between the rain events, time for the ground to dry out, which has been good. Honestly, we got a very good heavy rain this past week. I think we got probably an inch or more, and we needed it.
Yeah.
The ground took it. It still is a little bit wet right now, but it's drying back out again. Yeah. Clearly the soil utilized a lot of that moisture, and it's pushing grass out of the ground, at least where we are.
Before yesterday's rainfall, there were portions of the Penny Rile up into the Green River region that had only seen less than an inch for the month of March so far. So, I'm talking to the state drought committee, and we had, the drought last fall.
Yep.
No one's a fan of that.
Nope.
Got into January. I think we averaged 6 inches here across the state, so got rid of those drought conditions. But March has turned around, kind of going on the opposite of the spectrum. Had us a little worried, but again, this decent rainfall event yesterday, we'll take it and go from there. And the warmth has helped you guys out too, right?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, it does two things, right? It pushes grass. It starts things growing. I still am a little nervous. I have a lot of trees that have buds on them, and I'm not 100% sure they're all going to survive. But it is what it is. Unfortunately, that is not my cash crop, so I don't have to depend on getting a fruit or something like that off of a tree. So I'm not as stressed as some people might be about that, about those early warm days. But it also dries out the ground faster.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So. Now, I think that was a concern on hay supplies going, hoping we weren't going to get a harsh winter this year.
Oh, yeah.
And luckily, it was our eighth warmest winter ever recorded. Crazy stuff. This has been happening a lot this past decade. Six of the top 10 warmest winters ever recorded. And that day goes back to 1895. Have occurred in the past decade. So if you think it's been getting warmer here in the state of Kentucky, if you think we've had some warmer winters, you think the ground may not be freezing like it used to, you are exactly correct. And that warmth is, for the most part, carried on into March. Sure, we've had some cold spells here and there, but I think you guys wanted the grass to grow a little earlier this year. I think you got your wish.
Yep.
Yeah, as a hay seller, I can use a longer winter a lot of times, but this winter was tough. A lot of people needed hay. We sold a lot of hay. We're still selling hay. I mean, even for people, and we're still feeding hay, to be fair.
Yeah.
And we'll probably try and hold off for another week or two before we really turn animals onto pastures to let the pastures get their, I say get their feet under them, but the root structure, just to let it have some time to really recover, especially off of a drought fall. Mm-hmm. I just really want to make sure that grass is established and strong before we put cattle on it.
And looking ahead, like, you know, we're pretty cool today. We're recording this on March 27th. We're back into the 70s this weekend, upper 70s. There's probably going to be some folks at 80 this weekend. And
good for an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. You know, some freezing temperatures for some locations tonight, but the next week, I mean, it looks fairly mild. Now, I don't think we're out of the woods yet. You know, Mother Nature tends to throw some curveballs here and there. Right. And I was looking at the long range outlooks later into the first week of April, second week of April, and there is some seasonable cool temperatures for that time of year in play. And whenever I say seasonably cool, normal high temperatures in the low 60s. So not terrible. It's not January, so seasonably cool this time of year. It's not a huge issue. So
okay.
I think that's fair. I mean, that would imply that grass is still going to grow, but maybe a little bit slower than it's been jumping out of the ground.
So I know you talked about the warm winter, and you know, one of the things always my boogeyman is El Nino. And I'm just worried about this year coming up. I was like, is this going to be another El Nino? In my mind, it's always an El Nino drought for us.
Josh and his El Nino. So we're actually transitioning out of El Nino now.
Okay.
And we're supposed to head into a La Nina next winter. Peak impacts of this, what we call El Nino Southern Oscillation, are during the winter months. El Nino, we're typically drier. La Nina, we're typically wetter. And we've had some wet winters here as of late. Maybe this winter, not so much. I don't know, less mud for you guys. I think you're happy.
Oh, yeah.
It does make the winter easier on us and on the cattle. So that's always a positive when that happens.
Yeah. So I think it was 2018, February, we had the 10-inch plus rain in February. So I remember that. Remember that one vividly.
harsh stuff. So, I'm just hoping for the best. I mean, March has been relatively favorable for you all, and hoping it continues into April. I think we hit a cold spell, was it last year? Maybe your spring cuttings took a hit because of that, but
it was a little cooler starting off last year for us. So. I never really got the feet up under it.
Yeah,
I think that's true. I think it was warm, then cold snap, then warm again, and that cold snap was actually enough to really set back a bunch of grasses. And fruit trees, I believe, too, in the state. I'm less familiar, but I know you get the calls from all of the...
So I help out the National Weather Service, and we're having these conversations right now, determine when we need to issue frost advisories and freeze warnings. And that's mainly for, you know, fruit crops out there. They're usually the first in agriculture really take off. And strawberries more specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to protect fruit trees.
Yep.
Just be honest with you all. So I don't necessarily want to issue freeze warnings and frost advisories for something most people aren't going to take mitigation measures. Strawberries is a little bit different story. So we're going to start issuing these headlines next week if needed. Not saying we're seeing freezing temperatures next week, but...
You're going to be observing and
observing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We did have a little cold snap there about the wheat. You had that cold. Did that hurt anybody or was it?
So last week, we had numerous locations dip into the low to mid 20s. Some out in western Kentucky hit the upper teens.
Mm-hmm.
And considering how much growth and development we've already seen this year, in terms of the fruit crop, in terms of winter wheat moving into advanced growth stages, in terms of alfalfa, even it was It was a little concerning getting hit by that freeze event, but I've been hearing some good indications out there that fruit trees are going to be fine. According to the fruit specialist, you can lose 90% of your blooms and still have a full crop. And peaches are the most vulnerable right now. Apples are still a little ways away. Winter wheat, it takes, I believe it was 5 days to really see the visible impacts of damage. But based on some previous events, I think we're feeling pretty good about the wheat crop right now, that it'll make it through all right. But time will tell. Time will tell. We're not out of the woods yet. Our average last freeze is, you know, still two maybe 3 weeks out for some locations. So we still got a ways to go. So yeah.
How different is it? I've been teaching my class, and I look at the weather up in, say, Cincinnati, and then down in Bowling Green, and even though it doesn't seem like a very wide state north to south, there's a pretty significant variation in
Western Kentucky is always runs a little warmer. Of course, it's a little farther south too, but they're looking on a daily basis and whatnot. We have to take into account, just like this past week, Western Kentucky was actually cooler than the northern bluegrass at that time, but that was because the bluegrass had cloud cover in place. Mm-hmm. So the cloud cover was acting like a blanket and trapping some of that heat in the lower atmosphere. So they stayed in like the upper 20s around freezing. Western Kentucky, skies cleared out, and we were losing all that heat, radiational cooling in effect, and temperatures plummeted. And something else I'll point out, you know, we had temperatures in the upper teens for some of those locations out Western Kentucky. That's 6 feet above the ground. So you have radiational cooling in place. Down at that wheat canopy, it's probably cooler.
Yep.
We have some, or I shouldn't say we, but the Kentucky MesNet measures inversion. So they have temperature sensors at different heights. And one is at, I believe, 1.5 meters. They got 1.5 meter. They got one 10 meters up. But you could really see at that half meter level, it was cooler than what your typical sensor is going to be at 6 feet above the ground. So something we got to take into account.
Yeah, I was even amazed with that weather and the way that the clouds came in on that cold night, the coldest of the nights that we had last week. And I went out in the morning and I was surprised that there was no frost. Significantly below freezing and no frost, where sometimes it can be 35 and we can still get a hard frost with a clear sky. So.
Cloud cover can save us. Snow cover can save us.
Yeah.
If we have an extreme Arctic air event heading our way, it's always nice to have some snow on the ground to insulate, whether it's that wheat crop or whatever. So, yeah.
Pretty wild, actually, how dynamic that could be. Okay, so, but the real reason we had you here was not just to talk about the weather, which is what, you know, like we like to harass you about on a, you know, near daily or multiple times a day.
It was to say the groundhog was right this year.
No. Hey, I got to tell you guys something, though. We talk about the groundhog, of course, you know, that's all folklore and whatnot. But out in, I believe it's Arizona, they have a rattlesnake that they monitor for that same folklore and whatnot. Now, I can handle a groundhog, but I'm not getting close to a rattlesnake.
You won't be going to Arizona to figure out what the spring's going to do, huh? There you go.
Stay 20 feet away from that.
I probably want you to stay 20 feet away from it anyway. So the reason we had you here, though, was the app, your weather app. And this actually is wonderful. I have it on my phone. Josh has it on his phone. We all are very much enjoying it. But just to introduce it to anyone who's listening, what exactly is the app and how's it working?
So I work at the UK Weather Center, meteorologist there. And I go out, work mainly in extension, give these presentations across the state, you know, whether it's about disaster preparedness, whether it's about changing climate and its impacts on your farming operation. But one of the questions, I always get one question. Hey, Matt, you got a weather app? Can we get a smartphone app? And I was like, yeah, I get it. It's very convenient, right?
Mm-hmm.
So It's happening. It's happened. And we just finished up phase one of our new smartphone app titled Weather Alert. Very simple name. We wanted to keep it simple so you guys can find it. This is available for anyone across the United States. But we're focused here in Kentucky. That's our stakeholders here with Cooperative Extension and whatnot. But this was an awarded project through Cooperative Extension combined with some funding from the Southeast Center for Agricultural Health and Injury Prevention. Long name there, long name. But they came together and gave us the funding. We worked with the Center for Computational Sciences over across campus. Our app designer, programmer, his name is Dr. Yongwook Song. Absolutely awesome guy. He does fantastic work, and he made this project come to life. So have to give him a round of applause here. So, but anyways, it is now available on Android and Apple devices. Android just came out last week, so this is pretty good timing for you all. Simple navigation, focus on the iOS side first, but you put in your GPS location. You don't have to put in your GPS location. You can set a specific location in the app, but it's nice to have the GPS because of some of the aspects of this app. But picks up on your GPS location. You get the current conditions, the forecast, standard forecast for your location. You can add up to 16 other locations. So for me, I like to keep an eye on UK. I like to keep an eye on Princeton, where we have a research farm. I like to keep an eye on Robinson Forest. So if anything's going on down that way, I get alerts on my phone. I need to start looking over there. But I have another tab for the Ag Weather Update. We're trying to combine agricultural products with this weather app. Also disaster and preparedness products. So we have another tab for extension disaster preparedness, both for your own family, your friends, but also maybe some on-farm aspects you need to think about. We have a very, very, very high resolution radar. I told the folks when we started this project, I want to do this right. And we're paying another company for a radar feed. And you can zoom out across the entire United States. You can zoom right into your farm. You can be as much of a weather nerd as you want to be. You can put storm vectors on this. Josh is he's a weather nerd over here. So he's all over this. But anyways, you know, overlay it with watch boxes, warning polygons, putting you in the best possible situation. But I want to underline this for everyone. No ads.
No ads. Yep.
No ads, Morgan.
I really, really appreciate the no ads.
This is extension, you know, based, working with SCAHIP and Cooperative Extension. And, you know, just to be honest, I'm going to be truthful with your audience right now.
Okay.
I get on certain weather apps. I see current conditions. Add forecast. Add radar. Add hourly. Oh, you want to see hourly data? That's going to cost $10. No. I don't like that. It's kind of annoying to me. I want farmers, producers, just your common Kentuckian to get easy access to this information. It can save lives.
Absolutely.
You get a tornado warning for your location. Alert comes through that. Take shelter now. So I don't want ads messing around with, you know, the information you guys are trying to get. So underline that there. But lastly, we have an alert section. So if the National Weather Service issues a tornado warning for your location, buzz, buzz, ring, ring, let you know, comes up on your home screen. If you're under a wind advisory, Josh doesn't like the wind right now. He's mad at me. But if there's a wind advisory out there, he can't go spread, what was it, clover or something?
I was trying to spread some fertilizer and do some calibration tests, and I needed less than 10, around 5 ideally. Mile per hour wins.
I know that wouldn't happen. Yeah. So, but, you know, helping out, you know, here in the next couple of weeks, we might have some frost advisories, freeze warnings. If you're growing strawberries, we're telling you to take action to protect those strawberries, mitigate the impacts of that frost or freeze. So you'll get those alerts sent to your phone to let you know to take precautions. Again, the goals of this project, heighten awareness during extreme weather conditions. We want everybody to be safe, and we want to empower Kentucky farming operation with insights for their management and production related decisions. So this will go further. This is phase one of the project. Phase two is about ready to go into development. I got good news yesterday. We're going to get some more help from the College of Agriculture, Food Environment here at UK. And we're going to take some of the tools and agricultural models, so on and so forth, on our website, modernize those tools so they can be seen on the app. You can access all that information in one location. So we're talking with specialists, Josh here, Morgan here. They want to make a, hay cutting
tool. Hay cutting tool, just like green light, yellow light, red light.
Favorable conditions to go cut. Maybe you got a favorable 4-day window, so on and so forth. So the focus on here is going to be for the farmers, producers across the state. Phase three, we're focusing on emergency preparedness. Again, we want everybody to be safe. Right now, we're directing that to the A&R home page for extension disaster preparedness, but we want to make it more at a localized level. Mm-hmm. So maybe pick up on your GPS location and take you to direct emergency preparedness information for that county. Maybe we include information for emergency management. It could go in a number of ways, but we also thought about, do we want a communication chain between extension agents and us here at UK? So if a disaster does happen, we can quickly get resources out. We can see what's going on in that county, get resources to where they need to go. So that's phase three, but that's just a general rundown of weather alert. We did put some links underneath this
description here.
In the description for both downloads and Apple and Android. We just to be honest, we don't have enough downloads to compete with some of the other weather apps to where if you type in, weather alert, it'll show up at the top. So at this point, probably best to go by the link. Yep. But anyways, it's exciting stuff. I'm really curious to see where this goes. So
I think it's going to be great. And I will say, as someone who has other weather radars on my phone that have ads, when you are out in the country and you do not have great service, not only are you waiting for radar to load, which is what it is. It's just the nature of being in a more rural area of the state. But then you're waiting for the ad to load before the radar will load, and you get really angry. It's frustrating in general to have to look at ads in an app, but it's even more frustrating if you're in an area where you are on remote one or two bar service, and for whatever reason, my county has decided not to update all of their things since the windstorm a year ago. So I currently live with 1 and 2 bars all the time. So when I'm trying to figure out if a storm is coming, for me, that is a huge frustration, is not being able to load up a radar that is accurate enough to see what's happening at a localized level, and to have to wait for the ads on top of it. It's usually raining before I can figure out whether or not the rain's coming, if I'm 100% honest.
I mean, we've been doing some comparisons and whatnot. It's the truth. Those ads are going to bog down that app, and we just wanted to stay away from it. This is extension. This is completely free. We're just here to help you guys out as much as possible, put yourself in the best situation in terms of extreme weather or your farming operation. So
I'm excited that the heat stress and cold stress might turn over onto this app in this phase, and that we would get a hay window, that we would get the suggestions that are in there right now for drying time, for the ability to spraying conditions. All of that is really useful information on the farm.
There's a lot of collaboration opportunities with this app. whether it's the livestock folks, whether it's small grains, whether it's the fruit, the orchards across the state. I mean, we could take this app in a number of different directions to help out all the sectors.
Yeah.
In agriculture.
And so. are you taking input from producers as well? I think.
Yes. Or? Yes. So, if I'm all ears. I'm very happy to hear positives and negatives. We want this app to be the best possible weather app that you guys can have on you at any time. So if there's ways we can improve on that, again, I'm all ears. So Josh is already on me about every day. So, Matt, we need this. We need this. We need to. Oh, we'll get it, Josh.
Josh is a great test audience of one.
He keeps pushing me, so.
That's good. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It means he's using your app.
It's always good to have those people in your life pushing you. So
I mean, I use the current system, the Ag Weather. I use that almost on a daily basis. I'm watching it, looking at the hour, like every 4 hour forecast, the sky cover is what I really utilize when we're looking at cutting hay. It's like, is it going to be clear? It might not be raining, but is it going to be clear? And so that and fog, like how much heavy fog, heavy dew.
Yep.
I'm looking at those thinking, all right, it's go, no go scenarios. For me, that's what's really important.
Yeah, we're trying to make this app different from all your standard weather apps when we add these ag weather tools, because as you've been saying, farmers need a lot more information. It's not just watching that 6 p.m. newscast at night and looking at what it's going to be on a daily basis. Dew can be a major impact. When is that storm, coming? How much is that storm going to produce in terms of rainfall? A tenth of an inch and a half is a big difference.
I mean, that is a huge one right there. Like, saying that it's going to rain and then having it, like being able to look at the Mercer County forecast, like, oh, it's a hundredth of an inch. That's really important for me.
Yeah,
I think that's a great overview of the app. And I encourage anyone who's listening to go ahead and download it. It is free.
And share it with your friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Share it with your friends and family. This is here for you all, keeping you all safe. So even if they don't live in Kentucky, again, my cousins use this in southeastern Illinois. I got family that lives in Florida that utilizes this app. So if you're on the coastline of Florida, you got a hurricane head your way, and you got an alert for that from the National Weather Service, you're going to get it on your phone. So take it on vacation with you.
Are you suggesting we should go to Florida in hurricane season?
Oh, let's not do that.
There you go. I think that's a pretty good summary. I appreciate your time. Josh and I are big believers in the app. We really do watch weather data religiously as we move into the summer, and having something that is smartphone based is a big deal.
Yeah.
So I hope anyone out there that's looking for something like this will take a few minutes to download it and enjoy it, and give feedback to Matt. Maybe less than Josh is giving, but some feedback, any feedback would probably be appreciated, especially if it's really useful to you. That's really nice to hear. So, Josh, do you want to give any final goals for the next week? Maybe we'll make another podcast happen next week.
All right.
Say perfect weather.
Yeah. For this Easter weekend, pretty much we're going to be, probably just, tearing out some fence line. I think that's kind of on our to-do list. Tearing out some old fence line. Had a calf get out last night. So tearing out that and replacing it. So it's one of those. We've been ignoring it for a while, ignoring it for several years now. So we're trying to repair a lot of things. So that'll probably be, hopefully, be able to knock out some of that.
Yeah, I think it's Easter weekend. We have some feeding to do. I think we might have one hay delivery to actually do, which is weird to have to do on Easter weekend. But that's like, those are the couple big things. And then, of course, obviously some family time for the holiday. But just getting things ready for spring. We're just in spring cleaning mode right now. We're just cleaning off wagons, cleaning up barns, organizing and making sure when it's time for hay season, things are organized in their places. And we'll see how far we get. But look, that's the goal, is organized and in their places.
Yeah, you got to get those Easter eggs hidden for your kids, too. So.
I do have to hide Easter eggs. I'm very excited that it's not going to be raining, because I was not looking forward to hiding them in the house.
70s for Easter weekend. Oh, my God.
That's a win. So.
It's a win.
Oh, yeah, no, and it's my birthday, so it'll be a big day.
Perfect.
But I don't want birthday cake, I don't think. So I think we'll just standard chocolate. Easter candy will be a perfect dessert for my birthday. So there we go. Have a good day, guys. Enjoy your week.
Take care.
Have You Heard is a production of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, along with the Department of Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering. Discover what's wildly possible at ca.uky.edu.